Our opening hymn today is Praise My Soul, the King of Heaven. It was written by Henry Francis Light and is based on Psalm 103. It was first published in 1834 and it's set to the music of John Goss in 1868. The well-known hymn, Praise My Soul, the King of Heaven. As we open our minds and hearts in prayer, let us ask in music that God will bless us with his Spirit. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Break me, melt me, mould me, fill me. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. gracious, loving Lord, there is nothing we desire more today than for you to bless us with your anointing of your Spirit. We know only too well how we sometimes find ourselves unable to be like you when called upon to resolve situations. We approach them with the best of intentions, but we need wisdom and strength beyond our own, dear God. We need your divine anointing so that people will recognize we speak your words and act as you would. So here today, we acknowledge our inadequacy and ask for your all-sufficiency. Help us, we pray, not to be overwhelmed by thinking we must change the world for good in our strength, but to understand that all you require us to do is to complete in your name the task you assign to us. And this we pray in the name of Jesus, who gave us the words of the prayer we offer now. The hymn Praise to the Holiest in the Height was written by J.H. Newman in 1865 and first published in the author's verses on various occasions in 1868. It forms part of a poem of some length entitled The Dream of Gerontius. Praise to the Holiest in the Height, and in the depth be praise.
Praise to the Lord.
the majestic words of Eternal God, Our Song We Raise, were written by Catherine Baird, and the music was composed by Les Condon, two remarkably talented Salvation Army officers. The song is sung by the Chatham Citadel Salvation Army Songster Brigade. Eternal God, Our Song We Raise.
Oh!
Our Bible reading is taken from the 28th chapter of Matthew, verses 16 to 20. The 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age. Amen." For the introduction of the brass band tone poem A Psalm of Praise by James Curnow, I read from the programme notes. It's based on Psalm 100, which indeed is a psalm of praise. In fact, the symphonic movement seemingly unfolds as a piece of original music with fragmented excerpts from the hymn Praise My Soul, the King of Heaven, interjected from time to time into the development web. When the complete tune sounds triumphantly and in augmentation in the stirring finale, the perceptive listener will be struck by the observation that all of the music in this tightly wrought piece is in fact derived directly from that hymn tune. Yet Curnow has achieved a significant technical feat, for the appearance of the complete tune is the logical resolution of the entire musical argument, not just something inserted into the work to satisfy either denominational expectations or the gallery. I think the writer of those comments must have thoroughly enjoyed A Psalm of Praise by James Curnow. Here it is, and I hope you enjoy it too. God's tithes and our offerings. It's sometimes said by Christians that they don't profess to have any great talents with which to serve God. Yet in the Western world, few Christians are what we would describe as financially impoverished. We may not be rich, but neither are we what could be described as poor. It's a simple fact that God's work cannot be done without it's financed. Perhaps the greatest thing God does in our lives is to free up finance so that God's work can be done. Those we look upon as having far more talents than we have to do God's work can't do much unless we release what God is asking us to release. Those with great talent cannot make their talent available until and unless we release our talent, the gift of giving. May I invite you to receive God's blessing as you allocate finance to whichever church or ministry comes to your mind just now. Thank you for using your gift. The hymn, "Since the Lord Redeemed Us from the Power of Sin," was written by Albert Osborne, and the tune is the well-known one, "Count Your Blessings."
Thank you. a poem entitled Time. Our time on earth is very short, though long some days may seem. The years pass by relentlessly, at times just like a dream. We put things off as though we have an endless time to spend. But all the time we have is now. We cannot time extend. There is a time for everything, and we protest in vain if added time we think we need. God's word makes that quite plain. So many hours each day there are, the tasks for God to do. All else in turn must take its place, ere day its path is through. There's time to worship, time to serve, and time to share our wealth. Time to love, and time to hate. Give thanks for joys and health. The time we have, we must not waste. It will not come again. As God ordains, so we must act, if we would own his name.
Many, if not most, hymns have words written first and the tune is added. But this particular hymn was written by Fanny Crosby specifically for the tune written by William Kirkpatrick. A wonderful Saviour is Jesus my Lord.
Thank you.
In poetical and musical style, Sandra reminds us of the need to be aware of the importance of experiencing now what God provides for us, and not to be focusing only on the future. The sunrise of your smile.
Reject the worldly lie that says that life lies always up ahead. Let power go before control becomes a crust around your soul. Escape the hunger to possess and soul diminishing success. This world is full of narrow lies. I pray by grace your smile survives. For I would wander weary miles, would welcome ridicule, my child, to simply see the sunrise of your smile. To see the light behind your eyes, the happy thought makes you fly. Yes, I would wander weary miles to simply see the sunrise of your smile. Now close your eyes so you can see your own unfinished memories. Now open them, for time is brief, and you'll be blessed beyond belief. Now glance above you at the sky, there's beauty there to blind the eye. I ask all this, then wait a while to see the dawning of your smile. For I would wander weary miles, would welcome ridicule, my child, to simply see the sunrise of your smile. To see the light behind your eyes, the happy thought that makes you fly. Yes, I would wander weary miles to simply see the sunrise of your smile. I would wander weary miles, would welcome ridicule, my child, to simply see the sunrise of your smile. To see the light behind your eyes, the happy thought that makes you fly. I would wander weary miles, I would wander weary miles, I would wander weary miles, if I could see the sunrise of your smile.
I'd like to mention 2 points from the Bible reading in Matthew 28. I'm sure you'll have heard both many times, but bear with me, please, as I share the thoughts which God has led me to offer today. The first is the confirmation from Jesus himself that he is going to be with us always. That's not just a comforting thought, it's a reassurance that as we obey his commands, he who has said that he has authority in heaven and on earth and is with us will show us how to overcome the difficulties we find in obeying that command. The second point is a look at the original language of the specific command Jesus gives here. We realise that the final words of a person are usually very important, and these are the final words on earth of Jesus to his disciples. We read he said, "Go and make disciples of all nations." But a more explicit translation of his words are, "As you go, make disciples." In other words, our mission needs to be, do it today, now. We're surrounded by neighbours, friends, acquaintances, people with whom we work. The command of Jesus is to make disciples of them. If that seems a tough command, we can be reassured that Jesus, who has all authority in heaven and earth, has promised to be with us always. So, unlikely disciples as some of the people we meet may seem to be, no one is beyond the combined ministry of Jesus and us. Jesus needs us to obey his commands, human to human, and we need him to share his authority when we are obeying his commands. Perhaps sometimes we're tempted to wait for a better time to make disciples, but as Jesus has promised that he's going to be with us all the time, there is no better time than now. It's true that there will be those who seem disinterested and others who may reject the call of Jesus, but to use the harvest illustration, if we don't sow the seed, it cannot be reaped. Oh, the heartache Jesus must feel when, having made the supreme sacrifice to free us from the penalty of our sin and to make it possible by his power and authority for us to make disciples, we protest that we're ill-equipped to be effective to make disciples of all nations, especially when he has promised to be with us every moment of every day, carrying with him all the authority on earth and in heaven. It's not that Christians don't know what Jesus has promised to do for us and be to us, that we seldom make disciples. It's just that we're waiting for the right moment. But the right moment is always now. I was reminded of the need to act now by our eldest daughter this week. Concerned for our welfare as we age, she asked us to do an LPA, legal power of attorney, so I understand. Well, being of an independent mind, I hesitated at her obvious thought that it should be done now. There would surely be time next week, next month, next year, when I'm not so busy. But having thought about it, I had to realise that the only time we had for certain is now. If I did not put my signature to the form, should some event arise which needed a decision, I would be found wanting. And obeying the command of Jesus to make disciples is also a now. We cannot live in the future, but we can prepare others to live there. And this must be the Christian's role as we go on our way. If we wait for the opportunity to arise to lead someone to Christ and make them a disciple, the devil will make every effort to ensure those opportunities are few and far between, if they come at all. The Holy Spirit has been sent to us to make available all the power and authority of Jesus for us to make disciples as we go on our way. God will undoubtedly bless the Christian crusades and the huge evangelical gatherings. But what of the in-between times? Jesus has promised to be with us always to enable us to make disciples. It won't always be convenient for us. We can protest we're too young, too old, too inexperienced, too busy, even too busy doing church work, too many family commitments, too overworked in business or commerce. But our task is to make disciples as we go, continually, to view all non-Christians as potential disciples. What a command that is for us, but what a privilege it is. Can I emphasise once more that inadequate and unqualified as we may feel for this awesome responsibility, it was Jesus himself, with all the authority on earth and in heaven, who promised to be with us always, in every minute of every day, so the people we meet as we go will meet with us, seeing our interest in them, with God's overflowing love for them. Satan is quaking right now as he sees us obeying the commands of Jesus to make disciples as we go on our way. Imagine what a state he will be in when each of us makes disciples, and what joy there will be in heaven as we make more and more disciples. May you have great joy in obeying the command of Jesus.